Revival. And we are thrilled to have someone with us tonight that's ministering in a place like Dominica, and we want to be in prayer with them. We want to be a part of that. Praise God. What a wonderful day. What a great day to be alive in His kingdom, to walk up and down in those things that are pleasing to Him. We're going to read tonight in 2 John 1 and 6 as a text. We're making our way through these epistles of John on through the New Testament. And I think perhaps some folks with better sense than we stayed home tonight because of the tornado warnings. And here we are, lunatics as we are, coming to the house of God in bad weather. But I just always look at it and say, God, as it's raining outside, let it rain in the house. Not through the roof, but in the spirit. You understand? Praise God. 2 John 1 and 6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Everybody say, walk in it. Praise God. God bless you. Have a seat. Give God praise and thanks for His word that is forever settled in the heavens. We bless your name, Almighty God. We praise your name. Lift you up. Magnify you. Praise God. We're glad to have Brother Dawson's mom and Sister Sutton's sister in the house tonight and this morning. It's always good to see family. Praise God. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. Now, we've heard this theme from John already in the first letter that he wrote. And 1 John 2, 3, and 5. Hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. So knowledge of God is based on our response to His commandment. You can't say you know God if you're not walking in His commandments. And he that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in Him. I mean, I'm not doing everything right, but I know God. Mommy, me and God, no, you're not. You're a liar. The Bible says so. And the truth is not in Him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So we define knowing God by our response to the word of God. And we define loving God by our response to the word of God. So if we love Him, we keep His commandments. And if we keep, so it's doing, it's not feeling. It's doing, it's action, it's not feeling. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. How do I know I'm in God? Because some days you don't feel like you're in God. And some days you're in a valley. And some days the oppression is on you. And you're slogging through something in the spirit. And if you're not smart in spiritual terms, you'll think something's wrong with me. I'm not in touch with God. But it doesn't, you can't see how many demons or how many devils have come to visit you on a certain day. But you just have to press your way through those things and understand, I diagnose my situation by the word of God. I know Him because I'm obedient to His commandments. I love Him because I'm obedient to His commandments. It's not a feeling. I love the feelings. I'm glad for the feelings. But feelings are like this because you're like this. Because you and your spirit and you and your body are like that. And your life is like that to some degree. But we know that we are His children. 1 John 5 and 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments. I'm right with God and I'm right with the people of God when I'm keeping the commandments of God. I'm not worried. I'm not neurotic. I'm not paranoid. I don't have to worry about those things. This thing is cut and dried. It is objective and concrete. It is not touchy feeling and subjective. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Does anybody love the commandment of God? You love the word of God. You're thankful that God's given you an opportunity, given you a sound mind and understanding heart, that you can embrace the word of God and say yes to God. So then in our previous studies in 1 John, love is defined by keeping His commandment. We love His people because we keep His commandments. Now we love God now in this verse in 2 John. We love Him, we know Him by walking in his commandments. Now, this is a little different phrasing. It's the same idea, but the phrasing is a little bit of difference. Walking in the commandment is walking in the promise of God. So walking is not just knowing and not just assenting to it, but walking is actually making your way into it, experiencing it, saying yes to doing the word of God, living, if you would, incorporating the word of God into your life. It becomes a lifestyle. And so Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Now, that was in a season of judgment for Israel, and God's judgment was about to fall on them. But he said, while this is going on, and while I'm yet prophesying judgment upon you and against you, I want you to know that if you'll just sit for a moment and listen behind you, where you were when you knew me, when you were faithful to me, there's a voice that's crying out to you that's saying, this is the way. God has a way of directing us back after we've wandered from him. And God has a way, and God has a plan, and God is insistent, and God is not a variable. And so he's calling us to walk in his way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Live it. Do it. Incorporate it. Make it a lifestyle. Jesus teaches us the same thing. John 14 and 6. Walking in the way is walking with Jesus. Obeying the commandments is walking with Jesus. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So as we are walking in the way, this is the way, this is the word, these are the commandments of God. As we're walking in those things, we're walking with God. God is in the midst of his commandments. God is in a place where people walk in his commandments. God inhabits the praises of his people. But I want you to understand, God inhabits the commandment, the word of God, the plan of God, as it is brought forth in the earth. You want to be next to God? Get right up in the heartland of his word. You want to know God? Get up in the heartland of his word. Find out how. Don't worry about these human relationships. If you're obedient to the word of God, John tells us, I love the people of God by being obedient to the word of God. Get yourself into the word of God. Know it, love it, live it, walk it, walk up and down in the word. God's commandment creates a way. It creates a framing. It creates a construct. It tells you how to live. I don't have many decisions to make in the morning. Most of the decisions are already made by the word of God. I don't have to worry about the will of God. The will of God is doing what I know to do already. The will of God is to say yes to God concerning his word. Everything else is organic. I believe that with all my heart. I believe if you're walking in the word of God and saying yes to the word of God, that your next step is planted exactly where God wants to take you. Because the word of God said he directs my path and he orders my step. I don't think you can go wrong. I believe it's organic to the process of saying yes to the word of God. So get up off of your stump where you're sitting. Well, I don't know the will of God. I don't know the will of God. The will of God is the word of God. Do the word of God and God will take you where he has your destiny. God will take you where you desire to go. The things you need, they're there in the word of God. They're in the heartland of obedience to the word of God. There's a way that seems right unto a man, Proverbs 14, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You don't want to go that way. Everybody's got a way. I'm going my own way. Yeah, you are. And you can do that if you want, but that's not going to end well for you. You need to find God's way, the way, singular, definite article. It is a singular, unique way that is the word of God and God's intent for you. And we all follow in the same way. The way is defined by the word of God, and it is walked by obedience, by embracing, by saying yes to God. And it will lead you to God's desired destination. And you may have an idea about where you want to go or how you want it to turn out, but you need to relax in the hand of God and know that when he gets you where he wants you to go, you'll like it better than having gotten to where you wanted to go. Should I run that back by you again? Do I need to tell you that again? If you'll follow the word of God and go where God is leading you, you'll like the result better than if you had gone where you wanted to go, where your dream was. where your desire was. God will give you the desires of your heart, but he etches them into your heart by the word of God. It's all about the word of God. The way of God is safe. The way of God is joyous. The way of God is a place of singing. Isaiah 35:8. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over. You don't have to worry about the riffraff. They clear out. Nobody's walking in that way except folks that are serious about God. The way of holiness, the unclean shall not pass over, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, those folks that don't drive their tent stakes too deep, those folks that are like Abraham and they move, they're Bedouin-like. That was what that early teaching and covenantal relationship with God was about. They were not building solid, fixed structures in the earth, but they were working and living with God, and God had them moving from place to place, and that is a mentality. You may have a brick house. You may have a house on a slab. You may have a house that stays in the same place for 30 years, and you may not herd goats and sheep like Abraham did, but you better not be attached to that house, and you better be ready to move, because ultimately we're not staying here. We're getting out of this place. Somebody say praise the Lord. So the wayfaring men, people with a mentality that says wherever God is, that's where I'm happy. Whatever God is doing, that's what. Don't try to impress or impose your will and your desire and your dream on God. Now, you'll wind up with an Ishmael in your life, and you don't want to do that. But rather, you want to acquiesce and become vulnerable and say yes to God and God's plan for your life. Wayfaring men that just simply say wherever God is, that's where I'm happy. Whatever God wants to do, that's what I desire to do. Though fools, even though you are not the brightest bulb. What did my wife say the other night? She said I could use it. The brightest bulb. He's not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, she said. And she gave me permission to plagiarize that. So I just did, but I gave her a footnote. You may not be the brightest bulb in the chandelier, but if you have an affinity for the word of God, you will not err therein. There are some really smart people that are going to hell. And there are some average and below average folks that are just kind of clunking their way on into heaven. Because they say, I just believe God. I just think God is right and what he says is right and I'm going to follow him. And the guy at Harvard is saying, there is no God. And gives you all the reasons why. But whatever his name is just making his way on into heaven. So wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there. If you're struggling with the devil, let me make you a presentation here tonight and a suggestion. Let me suggest that you ascend to a place of embracing the word of God and walking at such a level that this scripture, and this is the word of God tonight, he tells me that the lion isn't there. The lion can't get there. Now, I'm coming down into some areas. You think you got to fight the devil every day. I want you to know you got plenty to fight with, just keeping your flesh at bay. But friend of mine, if you're living for God at a high level and your prayer is dynamic and your worship is dynamic and your word life is dynamic, it's not a struggle anymore. You can have what God talks about, peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy. Is there a witness in the house tonight? Do you believe that? You got to live this every day, and you got to live this intently every day, but you don't have to struggle. It shouldn't be a fight every day. My God, my soul is not in peril every day. How can that be? And I'm walking in joy. I'm simple-minded. No lion shall be there, or any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. I want to walk in that way. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness. You hear the themes. It's joy. It's gladness. The bad stuff has to dwell somewhere else, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And I understand I'm plucking this out of a conversation about the millennial, but I want you to understand we are a prefiguring of the millennial. That's going to be a season of peace on the earth, and God has baptized his people with peace that passes all understanding. Is there a witness in the house tonight? Praise the Lord. So we've been working on Brother Wilson's material in theology. And we had a conversation this morning that I felt apropos for this setting and for this discussion that we're having tonight. So I want to read a little bit to you, and then I want to merge this into what we're talking about tonight in terms of the way and living the way, living his commandment, walking his commandment. If you're walking his commandment, you should see the fruit of the word of God in your life. You ought not be wrestling with the same things you were wrestling with when you first prayed through. That is not the will of God. I don't mean you gave up wrestling. You just gave into it. That's not what I mean. I mean you ought to be victorious. Does anybody just feel like you got the victory today? I don't mean trouble never comes to your door. I just mean you got the victory in the middle of the valley and victory in the middle of the trouble. We live in a fallen world. We got a fallen body. We got a corrupted mind. And so those things have to be suppressed by the word of God and by a dominant experience in the spirit of God. But as we, okay, so he's talking about symbols and he's talking about a banner. I'm so glad the kingdom of God tells me that Jehovah Nisse, God is the banner over our lives. I'm glad that God is the banner over our lives. And sometimes you wonder what that means. He's our flag. He's our ensign. He's a signal, a sign to us. Psalm 60 and 4, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth or because of the commandment of God. Got a banner over our lives. So he talks about it, this banner. This is Brother Wilson. The banner represents a truth too large to articulate. It's a symbol. It is representative. A nation of perfection that has been envisioned even though yet not attained. God sees you as you are in heaven. God sees the church perfect, his perfect bride. God sees you as he saw Gideon, a mighty man of valor. He sees you in that perfect state, even though Gideon knew he was not, and even though you know all the weaknesses and troubles in your life, but God sees you that way, so you got to stand up and you have to walk in that way. And that has to be your confession. Though imperfect, citizens of the nation know that it is the vision represented by the flag that is worth embracing and for which it is worth fighting. So the flag, say, of the United States is a symbol of a great nation. People get disenchanted because they find flaws or they find historical problems or they find difficulty in their own life or they find an imperfect society. But the flag is not saying, it's not the testimony of the flag that the existential reality is perfect. It's saying that there is an essential, ideal, pristine thing in the heavens that God knows and that God is bringing us to. And that's where we look, and that's what vision is, and that's where our faith is tethered beyond the veil. That's what we aspire to, and that's what we confess. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we... So we're not where we're going, but we already are the sons of God. Why? Because God says so. You got to get up to speed with God's program and begin to walk in the commandment. Walk like you're the child of God. Walk like you're the redeemed. Walk like you're in the highway of God. Walk like you're more than a conqueror. Walk like you can do all these things through Christ. Walk that way. The banner is the visible representation of much larger and more profound invisible reality upon which their confidence stands. The American Pledge of Allegiance to the flag is such an example. Some resist such a pledge due to frustration that the nation represented by the flag fails to live up to the words of the pledge. But this is to misunderstand the symbol. The flag and the pledge is not to the nation as it exists, but to the republic for which it stands. It's not about the existential manifestation of it. It's about the essential, pristine, ideal, perfect thing that is in the heavens. It is in the ideal of what can be. And that's what you pledge allegiance to. And that's what the flag stands for. But beyond all of that, in terms of the meager things involved with a nation, we're talking about heaven and we're talking about God tonight. And God is the banner over our lives. And so we look to that. We're slogging through an existential existence here. And we're broken and we're distorted. And it's not like God intends for it to be yet. But we see the vision of God. And the vision of God is the banner over our lives. And we say yes to the vision of God. And we walk in that way. We walk according to that. Now, it is juvenile and it is classic. I don't want to insult the teenagers in the house right now, but I will tell you this. Teenagers, American teenagers, who a third worlder would trade places with you in a heartbeat without any question about where you live, how you live, anything, because your life is just infinitely better than theirs, no matter where you live. You don't understand that. But it is endemic with teenagers that they can find small flaws in their life and bemoan the fact that their life is not perfect. And find fault with their parents because their parents are not perfect and their lives are not perfect. And one little thing that is not worth a dime becomes so large because it's so close to their thinking and their vision that it obscures every good thing in their life. And we forgive you because you're young and you're dumb. Inexperienced. You have some ways to go. You have to grow. You have to gain knowledge and gain understanding. But I plead with you tonight, don't throw out the blessing of God because it's got a spot or two of reality or existential reality in it. Don't lose your way and don't begin to say what the devil says because you don't see the perfect with you right now. The vision is perfect. The symbol is perfect. The banner is perfect. And here's the punchline. This is where I'm going. The proper leadership response is to remain differentiated from the corrupting forces that would, by frustration, tempt one to surrender the vision of the pristine and its infinite possibility, because silencing of the proclaiming voice of the ideal, talking about the ideal, reflecting the ideal, representing the ideal, reminding yourself and others of the ideal, imposing the ideal on a less than ideal situation. He says, silencing of the proclaiming voice of the ideal signals the sure dissolution of the whole. It means that if you don't If you choke on the bone, the tiny fish bone of the negative that's in your life, and you disregard all the good, you will destroy all the good, and the negative will be there, but it'll be compounded and multiplied in infinite ways in your life. You need to spit out that fish bone and say, sure, I've got a few negatives in my life, but let me count my blessings. Let me show you what all the good things are in my life. Let me tell you about what God has done for me. Let me unfurl the banner one more time. Let me tell you how good God is. That's where our worship is. That's what we're doing. We're bragging on God. We're telling about how good God is. In the trouble, Dawson, we worship. In the struggle, Dawson, we worship. In the times when we're pressed, we worship because we're bragging on God and we're saying the ideal is yet true. If you focus on the negative, it will swallow you up because it's always present. But I'm walking in a different way. I'm walking in another way. I'm walking in the commandment of the word of God. Everybody say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Say, I will rejoice. Say, I will rejoice. You know it's 8:09. The day is far spent. You already know what kind of day it is and what kind of bills are on the desktop and what kind of problems await you tomorrow at work or in the house or in the family. But we stand in the middle of it as Israel was entreated to stand in the middle of it. And we say, this is the day I recognize the existential reality. But the banner over my life is God, and there is an ideal, and I believe in God, and I believe that God is able, and I'm not going to sing the song of hell. I'm going to sing the song of God's people. Somebody say, this day. This day. And you don't have to list all the negatives. Everybody's got a story. But say, this day, I will rejoice. I choose to rejoice. I believe that instead of this. I'm looking at that instead of this. Come on, it's just a choice. It's a choice. Everybody gets to do it. Brother Sutton, you don't know my situation. You don't know what I just got on the phone. You don't know the bills I have. You don't know the trouble. You don't know the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows. You might think you got it bad, but nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I'm unique. I got more trouble than anybody. That's what you, if you're singing that song, that's what you propose. But you're not. Everybody has a story, and everybody has a struggle, and everybody, but everybody has a choice. And some people look down, and some people look back, but some people look up. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from thee. Oh God, look up. Your redemption, look up. Your redemption, look up. Your redemption. Draw nigh. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Say, I will rejoice. Tell your neighbor, I made a choice to rejoice. By will, I'm going to rejoice. We talk about it in these terms. Dance on your enemy. Dance on the devil. Dance in spite of it. Dance in your valley. Dance through your sickness. Worship God through all that. You say it how you want to say it. But that is the way. That is the way. Walk up and down in the way of God. Walk His commandments. I will rejoice and be glad. Touch your neighbor and say, and I will be glad. I make a decision to be glad. I tell them I made a choice to be glad. Somebody's talking to somebody and they're looking at you like you're crazy because they're thinking you've been grumpy all day. Yeah, but we're in church and we're trying to do the best. We're lifting up the ideal. Don't hold me down because of what I was in the past, like noon today. In the past, that's in the past, that's under the blood. But tonight, I will be glad. Okay, flash him your biggest, best smile before we move on to something else. That's scary for some of you. Walking in the way is embracing God's reality. What are Paul and Silas doing when they're singing in the jail? They are looking out beyond, above their existential reality, and they're saying, you can't chain down what's inside of me. So they use the chains for musical instruments. And the angels start going, and heaven starts resonating with that. And the earth starts, and you know the story. So, well, what is that about? That's an embracing of the truth, the undeniable truth of the Word of God, singing in prison. Here's Paul's theology, and it's a guiding philosophy for us. Our philosophy is theological in its base. Philippians 4 and 6. Are you okay? Be careful for nothing. Tell your neighbor, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Tell him, don't worry, be happy. Now that sounds like a man that's stoned from the islands. But it's not. We're stoned on the Holy Ghost. We're drinking at Joel's bar. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He's drawing a parallel between being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. And we have carried folks out of church before, because they were just laid out in the Holy Ghost. So Paul's theology is don't be anxious. Don't worry. Well, that's easy for you to say. I am a professional paranoid. I am neurotic from my mother's womb. What do you mean? Don't worry. That's my job. I worry about stuff. And I call people and try to get them to worry too. Talk to people. And I go on social media and try to affect people for my cause. But in everything, here's the contrast. Walk in the commandment of God. Walk in this. Live this out. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to lift it up to God. Let God worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I've told you before. I'm going to tell you again. I don't lose sleep over you. I gotta have sleep. I'm not God. God doesn't sleep, nor does he slumber. I don't walk, Brother Martine, I am not gonna walk the floor at night. God, don't let Brother Martine go crazy. Go loco. Keep him in the palm of your hand, oh God. I pray for you, man. But I'm not going to walk the floor at night praying because you serve a great God. I'm a disposable piece of humanity. But God never changes. And the rule of God is true. And the law of God is true. And the commandment of God is true. And my worrying won't help you at all. And if your prayer meeting is a worry meeting, then it's not prayer at all. It's just systemized, vocalized worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. I got problems, but let me tell you about all the blessings. Let me count the blessings. Let me give thanks unto God. And when you do that, and when you do that, and when you do that, somebody say, and the peace of God, which passes all understandings, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Does anybody believe the word of God? I'm just going to tell you tonight, that's more powerful than a prescription. That's more powerful than what you can get out of a bottle. That's more powerful than walking the floor and being anxious and nervous. My God, take it to God. Give thanksgiving. And the word of God said, the word of God said, somebody needs to lift it up to God and say, your word says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep my heart and my mind. God, I'm walking in it. I need you to do it for me tonight. Do you know, does anybody believe God is able? Do you believe that God hears and answers prayer? Take it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. And see if that peace is not true. Do you believe this is the word of God? Yes. It is the word of God. And it's true. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You got to ask yourself a question. What have you been thinking? What have you been thinking about? Who have you been ruminating about? What have you been thinking about? Like a dog chewing on a bone. What they said. What happened. What they're thinking about me. What's not right. What's not good. You're like an old dog slobbering all over an old bone. And you're just there. You won't let it go. And you get it all down in the dirt with you. And you're just as repugnant as that old dog with that old bone. You're not living for God like that. You're not walking in the commandments of God like that. And I'm not being hateful and mean and insensitive to you tonight. I know life is real down here on the existential plane, but God has sent us a word to redeem us, not only our immortal soul, but that we might have life and life more abundant right here while we're walking through this world. He said there's a way. And he said the peace of God will keep you. So here's what you do. If there's good things, think about the true things. Don't think about the lies. But they're telling lies on me. Don't think about the lies. Think about the truth. Whatsoever things are honest. You know they didn't do the right thing. Don't think about that. Think about the honest things. Think about the good things. Whatsoever things are just. There are people that live their whole life martyred because of an injustice done to them or done to someone else. And it aggravated you then and it aggravates you for years or maybe for decades. But you got to turn loose of that. You can't walk with that around your neck like a chain and anvil. You got to turn loose of that. Things are always unjust down here on the existential plane. But things in the kingdom of God are always already settled in the heavens. We are serving the judge of all men tonight. Everything's going to be reconciled. I'm not going to lose a moment's rest over some injustice that's been done down here. Whatsoever things are pure, don't be thinking about the undefiled things. If your experience on social media continues to drag you into places that are not pure, shut it down. If your experience on Instagram, if your experience on Facebook or any of the other sites or mediums there that you're involved in, if they drag you off into places, or if there are places all along the periphera there where you might in some day make a detour off into that, you don't need to have that in your life. You need to think about things that are pure, things that are good, things that are right, things that are like Him. Let Him be the banner over your life. Whatsoever things are lovely, don't think about all that old ugly stuff. My mama used to call people that had a bad attitude, they just got an ugly spirit. They're just ugly. And she didn't mean physically ugly. She just meant that their spirit was ugly. And you don't need to be concerned about all that. Think about while you have control over your mind, and you do, you can think about all the ugly stuff. Or you can just start thinking, well, who does this really well? And who's a really nice person? And who's really doing a good job? Let me think on these. Every thought, Paul said, this is a stronghold. You bring every thought into subjection. You have control over your thoughts. You will be held accountable for your thoughts. And your thoughts are like the setting of a sail in your life. They're going to direct your destination. You need to get your thoughts in control. Obey the word of God. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Does anybody have a bad report in your immediate situation? Have you heard some bad thing, some negative thing? You're not going to respond to me. You're stonewalling me. You wanna think on good reports. I get that bad report in the mail. I chunk it over into file 13. And I say, let me talk about some good things that are going on. Praise God. Does this seem unrealistic to you? This is the word of God. This is the word of God. Paul said in Philippians 4, Samuel, come play. It'll make him feel better. Philippians 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I know that this is rare, but I know that this is real. I know that this is rare, but I know that it's the will of God for every one of you to, wherever you are, think, I am so blessed. Life is so good. God is so good. Walk in this. This is not a Sunday experience. This is a walking up and down in this on Monday. And Tuesday. This is real. Is there a witness in the house? This is real. Is there anybody in this house that's walking in joy and the peace of God has visited you and you've got a wellspring of something good in your life and it's carrying you every day? Is there anybody in this house that's walking in that? For I have learned in whatever state I am in therein to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. And everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and suffer need. And this is where he says, and in regard to this, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. I can walk in the word of God. The way of God is confining. It's exclusive. It's called the straight gate. It's called the narrow way. It is doctrine, it is commitment, it's discipleship. But that's where the good stuff is. If you're all loosey-goosey and you're just kind of playing around the edges with the Word of God, you're never going to get the good stuff that was intended for you in the Word of God. Unless you're a serious player in this, you're never going to walk daily in these sweet things that God has made available to you. God's blessing is in the way. God's way is where the blessing is. Psalms 119, 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. The thing that you need most and the thing that you probably desire, you're going to find it in the truncated, controlled, exclusive, narrow way of God. You can't just run around like a chicken with your head cut off chasing everything you want. You got to get focused on these things. But if you'll walk in them, there's a payday. Every day, good things come from God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God told Abraham, I want you to look at it. I want you to see it all. I want you to be able to envision it. And then I want you to walk up and down in it. Because you have to familiarize yourself with it. You have to actualize it. You have to make it real, Abraham. You got to feel the crunch under your feet. It can't just be cerebral and intellectual and academic. It's got to be something real that you're walking in. Possess it. Gain dominion in it. When John's talking about walking in the commandment of God, it's just exactly what God was speaking of to Abraham. He said, I want you to walk in these commandments, and I want you to take possession of this, and I want you to experience what I have here for you, Abraham. And John's saying, church, if you'll walk in this way, if you'll obey this commandment, God will give you dominion here. He'll give you ownership here. He will build you here. You will possess this. You will walk in covenant relationship with God, and all the good things that are attending to that, they will be yours. Walking in obedience to the word of God. Let's stand together tonight. For Israel, for Josh and Caleb, walking in the commandment of God was tantamount. It was synonymous with possessing the promise of God. Praise God. Have you looked at your watch lately? It's 2017. Israel is in the land. Ezekiel 38 is displayed all through the Middle East. The players are all there. There's a wild man in North Korea with nukes that if he could just get a missile to fly, he'd like to land it on somebody. But they've been fizzling, but it won't keep fizzling like that. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. Do you realize what time it is? It's time to live for God. It's time to be serious. It's time to take dominion. It's time to take ownership. It's time to walk in his commandments. Make this real. Actualize this in your life. Let's lift up every hand and every voice and every heart. The altar's open. If you'd like to come and just say, God, I really do want all of this. I want everything you have for me. I want to possess it. I want to walk in it. God, I need you to help me, and I need you to speak to me. I want you to be the banner over my life. I want peace. I want joy. I want righteousness. God, I want all the things. I want a daily payday. I want to walk in all the good things. I want to walk in the promise of God. Hallelujah. Somebody that knows that this is real, somebody that's walking in this right now, come down to this altar and lay your hands on somebody here. Say, God, let it be so in their lives. God, let it be real in their lives. Somebody that knows it's true, lay your hands on somebody and pray for them. Somebody that's walking up and down in it, pray with somebody. Lay your hand on them, communicate this. Let your spirit flow out of you and onto them.